Call the December 4th Common Council meeting order. Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Mayor Olson.
Here.
Alderman D'Andrea.
Here.
Alderman
Mayer. Here.
Alderwoman Wilhelm.
Here.
Alderman Taylor.
Here.
Alderman Barber.
Here. We have a quorum. Please rise. Join us in the Pledge of Allegiance. And Alderman Barber has arrived.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Again, for the record, Alderman Barber is here. Alderman Taylor.
Thank you, Your Honor. I ask that the everybody in the audience take a moment of silence for former President Bush. Obviously, everyone knows passed away on Friday night. I think it's fitting that all the coverage that people are viewing and seeing what a really great man and a great president he was in that one term. So I ask for a moment of silence.
First item on the agenda, B1, assistance comment period. There are some new folks here. The way this works is you come forward, you can line up or whatever you'd like to do. Come forward, speak into the microphone, give us your name and address, and then you have 3 minutes, and Mr. Liberta is going to time us. So, assistance comment period is open. Yes, sir. Good evening.
Good evening. My name is Brian Wetlaufer. I live at 7955 South 55th Street. I'd like to thank the Quarry Monitoring Committee, representatives of Payne and Dolan and Stantec, who, hearing our concerns last week, gave us the time and for us to stand up and ask questions and learn more about the quarry operations, which is what brought us together last week at the Quarry Monitoring Committee. And I thank this council this evening for the opportunity to do the same. My family moved to Franklin almost 20 years ago for the quality of life. We like our neighborhood and feel that Franklin's a great place to live. But my wife and I are reconsidering staying here, and I'm going to tell you why. Over the past 19 years, we've experienced many quarry blasts, most minor and inconsequential, but the blast at 3:30 p.m. on October 1st was very different. By far, it was the largest, loudest, most intense blast I've ever felt. I'm confident most council members here tonight did not experience that blast firsthand. So let me paint a picture and ask you to put yourself in it. Imagine for a moment you're at home during the day in a quiet house when all of a sudden you feel the ground shake underfoot and you hear your house and seemingly everything in it rattle violently. I'm not talking about a few dishes clinking in the cupboard. I mean you hear and feel the rafters, the skeleton of your house shake. It's alarming. After such a blast, your thoughts would naturally turn, like mine did, to what fell and broke? Did walls crack? Did something shift? You then run around your house and your landscaping and you check for damages. That's what I and many other people in this room experienced on October 1st. But as alarming as that blast was, there's something that concerns us even more. We've since learned the blast that day, a blast that shook entire houses, registered, now get this, just 17% of the permitted quarry blast limits. Let me repeat that. The blast that caused such neighborhood concerns is only a marginal percentage of the threshold that Payne and Dolan can legally reach. Plus, PDDs 23 and 24, which everybody up there is familiar with, they govern such blasting, further allows the quarry to exceed even those limits by up to 15% annually. Excuse the pun, but I shudder to think what's in store for our homes if such large blasts continue or even intensify. So I'm here tonight, along with my neighbors, to not only express our concerns, but also work with city leaders and the quarry operator to find ways in which the quarry can continue to operate, but with fewer negative impacts on our properties. I look forward to working with you on that goal. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Good evening.
My name is Bruce Demetrius. I live at 6024 West Allwood Drive. We've been in the property since 1990. And to echo Brian's, I'm very happy with Franklin. I love the community. I love the people in the community. However, the quarry is starting to be a real problem for us. And I just would like to relate a little story that I found out about Sunday night from my grandson. He's 24 years old. And we were talking after the Packer game to ease our pain about the quarry blast. And he told me that he and his friends, about four or five of them, they're all between 24 and 30, were at our house for a pool party. My wife and I weren't home. We were up in Two Rivers at our other house. But our in-ground pool is 17 by 35. It holds 18,000 gallons of water. And the blast occurred mid-August. I don't have the exact date. But it scared the heck out of the kids. And it actually brought the water over the sides of the pool from the blast. Not ripple, over the sides, he said. And they were concerned that it was an earthquake until they finally realized it was a blast. And that's concerned. And I've been in the pool during the summer and all by myself because I'm retired. And when those blasts goes on, regardless if they're large or small, I see ripples in that pool. And to the ability to move 18,000 gallons of water has to cause some structural damages in the housing. It's just beyond my wild imagination that it doesn't cause foundation problems and walls cracking. And the thing, and that blast, October 1st, from my understanding, was 1,100 feet north of Drexel, the center of Drexel. Now, my understanding is that Payne and Dolan can come another 250 feet towards Drexel, towards the center of Drexel, to expand that quarry. Now, that's my understanding. That's 44% closer than the blast in October. And my property looks right at the core of my backyard. And I am really concerned about the future of my home. And my wife and I are actually talking about selling and moving because I'm that concerned about it. But my other concern is if you have a real estate agent showing your house and a blast goes off, what do you think the prospects of selling that house are? Zero to none. And lastly, I've just got a question because I'm not real sure of the interpretation. The PDDs, I've heard the word morphed into ordinances, and I'd like to know the difference between a PDD and an ordinance.
Plan Development District Ordinance Number 23 and Number 24 are ordinances.
So my interpretation, it's a law.
Yes.
It's no longer a PDD.
It is a Plan Development District Ordinance.
Right. So, can that law, being a law, be changed in any way?
Yes, and I thought on the run, since all I've had time to do is read what's in the council packet over the weekend, because I had heard nothing about this until Friday afternoon, and it's been a work around the clock since then on other stuff, including for tonight's meeting. But in the Wisconsin statutes that authorize a local government, a city, a village, to create zoning ordinances, without looking back at it, but per recollection, and they're called planned unit development ordinances in the statute, that there's a consent, no objection requirement that the owner holds. So there is some form of consent involved, and that's just per recollection. But obviously, after reading the action sheet, I'm sure the council will expect staff to revisit the entirety of this subject matter. And work with its consulting expert. That was part of the Plan Development District ordinances that, per recollection, the quarry operator pays for, et cetera, as well as the quarry operator, and see what's going on here. And for whatever it's worth, with regard to the limits in the Plan Development District ordinance, without revisiting them, I'm thinking those date back to 1997.
Seven. You're correct.
That was a three-year process involved there. And city staff worked closely with the Department of Natural Resources staff in their department realm that administered quarry operations, mining, and the like. And I remember his name was Phil Faubel, worked very closely with me and reviewed all the drafts and redrafts of the two Plan Development District ordinances. And per recollection, the end result, which is what would be there now, was three times more restrictive than all of the Department of Natural Resources blasting regulations. And also, per DNR's knowledge, not that they were totally aware of every single one of the 1,850-some municipalities in the state's local ordinances, but I remember statements that this is, to DNR's knowledge, the most restrictive quarry operations ordinance statewide, for whatever that's worth. And this is not good news from what I'm hearing here tonight. And so, obviously, the council's going to want this to be re-reviewed as part of an investigation, if you will, as well as have all those regulations changed through the years, et cetera, et cetera.
So
Mr. Major, excuse me, but you've had...
Okay.
Thank
that
you.
Might be
yeah.
me, though.
Appreciate the understanding.
Ken Brueger, live at 7966 South 57th Street, and I've been living there for 15 years. I bought the house there in Franklin because it seemed like a nice area, and I was aware the quarry was there. And at that time when I bought it in 2003, it once in a while you just feel just a little bit, almost just like a bad thunderstorm, nothing too severe. And I never ever felt anything like this one that we're complaining about. I mean, that too, I was just standing in my house and just about knocked me over. Had to get my level out, straighten out my pictures. So that was way over the top. If I would have been looking at my house, and if that would have happened, I would not have bought it. And also, when I did call up the city and I found out that the Stantec was monitoring it, that was giving us 17%. Now, come on, you got to be kidding. You know, if that's 17%, you double that, that's 34%. I don't want to be in my house. I mean, it's like an earthquake. You don't want to be in a house during an earthquake, and I wouldn't want to be in it. Three rafters would fall down. So, anyhow, I don't believe the Stantec reading at that time, and I don't know if the equipment wasn't working or what. And I'm wondering right now, who is monitoring that? Is Stantec still monitoring it, or is somebody else monitoring it? What are you guys doing about that? Is that being checked by somebody else? Is there what's going on with the actual monitoring?
Mr. Deedle.
Our city consultant randomly monitors the quarry during the regular season, usually somewhere between March and Thanksgiving of each year. We have a limited budget, and so that's all the city has been putting towards that. And on that particular day, they were monitoring the monitor.
So who's going to monitor it? Who's been monitoring it since then? Who's going to monitor it the rest of this year, going into next year? It's not monitored?
The contractors, the money left in the contractors has been almost all spent.
So it's not being monitored?
Correct.
Well, that's nice.
It's always monitored randomly. It's not monitored all the time anyway.
Even after we get this and you have all these people complaining, you're not monitoring
sir,
it?
Sir, I didn't tell you folks, but address your comments to me. We don't want to have back and forth.
Well, this gentleman,
he answered your question, so.
Okay, then I'll
And I don't mean to seem like I'm rude, but I got to run the meeting, folks.
Okay, well, who's my question was, who is monitoring it now between and until the end of the year and next year? Is it not being monitored at all?
Well,
that's my question.
The purpose of the monitoring is to document what has happened. So actively monitoring them means nothing to anyone. The reality... Think about it for a minute. Wait a minute. We're not going to do that, okay? He asked a question. I'm giving an answer, okay? Please. I want to be pleasant about this, but I got to run the meeting, and I can't have that. Think about what monitoring means. Monitoring means that something happens that gets recorded on a monitor. Everybody agree with that? Not up and down? It's not a real-time thing. It's happened. That's what gets monitored. So it's documented. The quarry operators also have monitors, also documented. So that information is available. We do not have the consultant monitor it all the time. They take random readings. And in situations like October the 1st, when I get a phone call and an email, I call staff and they get them to get the readings. That's how we knew it didn't work. So, that's your
answer. So in other words, my answer is no, you are not monitoring at all. It's not being monitored?
The data is available, but it's not being read regularly because, frankly, there's not much activity in the quarry in the wintertime.
Well, I find that acceptable, but okay.
Yeah, I mean, here's another thing. You get one turn at the microphone before you can come back.
Are those rules published for the public to see?
Absolutely.
May I see that rule that says I'm not allowed to ask a follow-up question?
No, that's common courtesy.
No, is it published in the rules somewhere that I, as a public citizen, cannot ask a second question?
No.
You just said it was. So can I ask a question or not?
Well, you're up there.
Thank you. Mr. Mayor, were you aware that on October 1st, the largest blast, according to everybody here that's going to testify, Stantec monitor was not even working?
Yes, I
let alone not even in place? You were aware it was not working?
I am now aware of it, yes.
Yes. Are you aware that your planning commission did not tell the quarry monitoring committee that it was not working? Are you aware of that miscommunication or that lack of transparency?
I'm not aware of that, no.
You are tonight.
Yes, sir.
Jeff Klinkowitz, 8088 South 57th Street. I brought up to the Quarry Monitoring Committee a letter from Stantec, which I have here. The Quarry Monitoring Committee was not aware that in early September the monitor broke. The quarry is not being monitored, hasn't been monitored since September. It will not be monitored anymore this year. The quarry is going to be blasting this year a little bit longer. They're going till the end of December. So us residents, we don't have any, there's no private monitoring going on for the months of September, October, November, and December. Zero. The 17% reading, that was not a Stantec monitor. The Stantec monitor was broke at that time. The 17% is the Payne and Dolan monitor. The city of Franklin has a contract with Stantec. Calendar year this year, 2018, the city pays $43,000 for this private monitoring. This quarry monitoring committee had no idea the monitor was broke. The rep from Stantec spoke at this meeting, and he said there is money left in the budget because obviously he wasn't recording any time in September, October, November, and he won't be recording in December. So I have proof of that in a letter from Stantec. And even Alderman Barber admitted that the quarry committee had no idea. The quarry monitoring committee had no idea that the monitoring wasn't going on.
Thank you, sir. Anyone else? Ms. Donosky.
Yes, I'm here in regards to blast in October. And, I mean, I spent so much time fighting the quarries years ago. And I thought he had kind of come to an understanding whereby blasting was going to be minimal. And what I found out lately is it just seems like the quarries seem to be running rampant.